The Kappa Jay Hood podcast is sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka. Check out the ESPN Chicago Games, sponsored by Tito's Handmade Vodka at ESPNChicagoGames.com. Watch us compete against each other, share memories and laughs, all for charity. Tito's Handmade Vodka celebrates 25 years. Cheers to you, Chicago!
That's why I say amen, I
shot. No shot. With Kappa and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000 and the ESPN app.
That's why I say amen, I shot.
Shot, no shot is brought to you by Club Hawthorne. Bet the Breeders' Cup on November 4 and 5. I'll be locked in both days on all of that at a newly remodeled Club Hawthorne. Betting bar, sports betting, do it at Points Bet. We say good morning to Snorling.
Hi. Good morning. Hey. How are we,
Dion? Hey, Shay.
Wonderful to see you on a Bears Monday.
It's always great to see you.
Cap, how we doing? How was the weekend?
It was awesome. It was great. Went up to Wisconsin for a couple days. Cranked it up. Watched Bears yesterday. Watched Buffalo Green Bay last night. Watched Bulls Friday, Saturday. Locked in. And then I saw my Michigan Wolverines for the day. They're only mine for that day. Fail the cover by a point.
I saw my Spartans cover. It was the only positive experience that came out of that.
Yeah, I don't want to talk about your Spartans. I'm not happy
with
Michigan.
Dirty ass program.
See, I don't like Michigan.
I'm an Ohio State
guy. Yeah,
I just needed Michigan to cover.
Yeah, I can't ever cheer for Michigan. But now I'm mad at Michigan State. I'm usually not mad at the Spartans, but now I am.
Snorling.
All right, anyway, go ahead.
They handled it right. That's all we can say about
it. No,
they
didn't.
In the immediate aftermath, they did the right thing. They suspended all the players who got in the fight in the tunnel, and they got out in front of it, made no excuses. That's all you can ask. Just handle these things right after the fact, and they did. Mm-hmm. I'm not saying it's not problematic that it happened, but regardless, let's get to shot or no shot. Eddie Jackson was probably the only Bears defender that showed a consistent effort yesterday with 11 tackles and an interception before the half that helped the Bears get back into the game. And after the game, Jackson said, people probably just listening to the words, just in one ear and out the other. We want to win, want to be a good team, want to prove people wrong. We got to come out here and play our game. Can't have these ups and downs. Can't get complacent. He's talking about other players on the defense there. Shot or no shot? The Bears' defensive lapses are more an issue of effort than they are talent.
No shot.
Sorry, I didn't mean to say that at the same time. I say no shot because I feel like this team has built itself this season on effort, intensity, hustle, the hits principle.
Right.
And I don't think it was effort.
They've had moments where the hits principle didn't, you know, work, like Justin not touching the guy down.
They had a lot of loafs yesterday.
They did a lot.
That's not going to be a fun film session for anybody involved.
Correct.
Especially defensively.
But lack of effort? No.
I don't think it's lack of effort.
They don't
have
any
talent.
Right. We know.
I've been telling you that for a long time.
Is the quote not a little telling if Eddie Jackson saying people are just listening in one ear, out the other? Is that not a little telling about what he sees going on in the locker room? And he's been the only defender that's been consistently good.
Yeah, but I don't think he's saying that they're not trying. I think the game just got too fast for them because they're not that good. You know, you just feel out of sorts. Slow it down.
Yeah.
Shay.
All right. I wasn't sure if Dion had a thought to add there. The Bears' defense was non-competitive yesterday. We just talked about that. They gave up 9 conversions on 11 third down attempts. Also on third down, the Bears gave up 3 touchdowns and 157 yards. They were gashed on the ground all game for 3 touchdowns from Tony Pollard. And Dak Prescott operated free of pressure. He had just 1 sack. He was barely touched. My question, shot or no shot? The loss of Robert Quinn was more impactful than we expected.
Yeah, shot. I believe that wholeheartedly. I think just emotionally more than anything. But there were a couple of times that the Cowboys went that direction because they knew he wasn't there, right? Like they knew they could take advantage of that.
I'm going to say no shot because as Alex Brown will give us at 9 o'clock when I asked him and Lance Briggs, Roquan was crying and it was all this stuff. And they both looked at me and went, okay, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen. They were
really
yes.
Why?
And because they said it's professional football. You're going to see a million guys get cut, traded, injured, released, whatever. Do your job, and then Alex said he told a great story. There's this room at the old Hallis Hall in the basement, and that's where all the rookies went. You could be a first-round pick. You could be an undrafted rookie. He said, I started down there, and it was whatever number. There were like 40 guys. He said, every day it's 39.
Right,
it's 36.
Right.
It's 27. And I'm looking, and I'm like, he said he came upstairs, and Olin Krutz said to him, what are you all messed up about? He goes, dude, there's like 14 of us left here. And he said, yeah. He goes, my guy just got cut. And he said, Olin looked at him and goes, you got a job to do. Would you rather it be you? No. He said, then shut up and get on the field and play football. You're a professional. He's like, never again. You're exactly right. It's the pros. Let's play. So, yeah, no, I don't buy into the Robert Quinn effect. Good player, but in terms of emotionally, stop. These guys make millions of dollars.
So here's what I'm going to say. There is no one in that locker room who talks to players the way that you just described Olin speaking. There's no one who does that. They have no vet. They lost their oldest veteran. There's no one there who does that. They are a young team. They are babies, which is why they were crying. I'm just kidding. Maybe.
All right, Shay.
All right, the troubles continued for Velus Jones. He's been relieved of his punt returning duties after he caught a case of the muffs. And yesterday, he dropped a perfect deep ball from Fields on one of the few routes he's been allowed to run all season. So my question, shot or no shot, Velus Jones won't make it to next season with the Bears.
Oh, boy. I mean, we're seven games in, and now we're already writing a third-round pick off.
You're
24 years old.
He's 25.
Your top offensive draft pick, your first offensive draft pick, and we're already writing him off? No shot. They give him more time than that. And he did field a kickoff or a punt return yesterday, didn't he? He did.
Kick, not a punt.
I mean, they're trying to rebuild his confidence.
Correct.
But he's got to catch that ball.
Correct.
I just watched that play again. He's got to catch that ball.
Right there.
It's right there.
So,
right there.
Yeah.
He's throwing perfectly, but no shot he's gone after 1 year.
Correct. Take that.
Not for a new GM who believes in him. Right.
Yeah, take that, Shay.
All right, Darnell Mooney, boy, spoke on Justin Fields' performance yesterday. He had this to say. Take a listen.
Yeah, he's got to stop taking hits. Yeah. I mean, I love him. I mean, he's a tough guy, but I don't need him to be a tough guy anymore. Like, just, you know, get out of bounds or something. You know, because we're going to need him.
So my question, shot or no shot, we were all impressed with Justin Fields yesterday, but shot or no shot, he needs to stop taking these hits at the end of rushes.
Shot, he needs to stop taking those hits. He's got to. His body will only allow him to go so far.
Correct. And when he talks about his hip bothering him, like,
he's got to be in pain, you guys. There's no way that his body doesn't hurt.
He's getting crushed.
Crushed.
So.
And he keeps getting up. I mean, I look through the world through scarlet and gray glasses, so I want him to succeed so badly. But he is going to get injured. We're going to see Trevor Siemian on purpose, or because we have to, if he continues to take hits like that.
Agreed.
I don't like that.
Shay.
The Packers have lost four straight games and have fallen to 3-5 ahead of the trade deadline after a 27-17 loss to Buffalo on Sunday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers did not cross the 100-yard mark until the fourth quarter. He finished 19 of 30 with 204 yards and two touchdowns, but most of that was in garbage time. He started the fourth with just 74 yards. Shot or no shot? Rodgers has played his final playoff game with the Packers.
That's a no shot unless he's retiring. And you're telling me he's walking away from $100 million? How many does he have left on his deal? $50 or $100 million?
Yeah, I think, but it's just next year that's guaranteed, I think.
They have too much talent on that team. They'll have to go out in the offseason and kind of rebuild their wide receiver room a bit. Yeah, I don't see it. What do they have? How many first-round picks do they have on their defense? They have six first-rounders starting on defense, and that doesn't include a first-team All-Pro, a Pro Bowl alternate, and a host of others with talent. Matt Schneidman, who covers them, writes. So they've got talent.
One of those kids might get suspended, by the way, Quay Walker, after he threw hands at a coach on the sideline.
I saw that. He got
ejected. They're frustrated. I'm saying no shot unless he does retire, which I doubt he will if they're going to continue to pay him.
Because in 2018, the Bears went 12-4. Mitchell Trubisky beat the Packers here to clinch the division 24-17. And everyone went, dawning of a new era.
Yeah.
Yeah, not so much.
Doesn't this feel different, though?
It does, because we've never seen it like four straight losses. That's weird.
Yeah.
That's not like, and we all went into that game last night knowing they were going to get blown out. Like,
and they aren't even trying to throw the
covered.
Ball.
They did cover, I know.
The crazy part is, like, Aaron Rodgers entered the fourth quarter with 13 pass attempts. That's like Justin Fields week two.
They were like third and nine running the ball.
They aren't even trying to throw. Like, how many times have we seen him have lesser weapons but make them better?
What did he say post-game? I need to find that. I love to hear a good terrible. Aaron Rodgers frustrated post-game. It's a fun listen on a Monday.
I actually like Aaron. I do.
You do? He annoys me.
Certain things, the whole I'm immunized versus vaccinated. That whole
nonsense.
I just don't like
that he talks to me like he's better than me. I don't like it.
But I like that he was critical of his team.
No, I do too.
Because he didn't call anyone out by name. And they were talking about it on the broadcast last night. I don't know if you heard it, you or Shay or Charlie. But he told them, hang on a second. People are upset for what I said. This is professional football. You have a job to do. And if you don't do it, they're going to replace you.
Yeah.
So I had no problem with it.
After the game, he said, nobody feels sorry for us. We've got to find a way to get one win. I feel like if we can just get one, the whole momentum changes. We've seen that before. I don't think this team is capable of it. Mm-hmm. We have seen that before.
Maybe not.
I don't know.
Go ahead. One more, Shay.
All right. The Vikings improved to 6-1 yesterday after beating the Cardinals 34-26 in Minnesota. Kirk Cousins was pedestrian, 230 yards and two touchdowns, but he protected the ball well, and the Vikings defense turned Arizona over three times, including two late interceptions off Kyler Murray. The Vikings now have a three-game lead in the NFC North, which is terrible, and they look to win the division comfortably. So my question, shot or no shot? The Vikings are a legitimate threat to the Eagles in the NFC.
That's a shot. When you have Dalvin Cook, Justin Jefferson, Adam Thielen, a serviceable to solid, I'm not a Kirk Cousins guy with his take that, you like that. No. But they have talent on that team.
They do.
Let's see who's healthy at the end of the year. I think Dallas is a real factor, too, in the NFC.
I think they are too. I think they deserve to be in that conversation.
Agreed.
I would say shot. They have a shot to really contend with Philly. That was the question, right? Yeah, I think so. 6-1. They've proven that they're being consistent.
No
coming
doubt.
Out of their bye. And like you said, serviceable from Kirk Cousins. That's okay. Don't turn the ball over.
No question.
Get the job done. Dalvin Cook had a good day yesterday.
They've got talent.
They just have to hope they get the matinee playoff games. They get the primetime games.
They struggle.
Cousins is going to be in trouble.
Right. They better play the Super Bowl at 11 a.m. if they get there. Anyway, it's a Bears Monday. We're talking football all day with you. We want your thoughts. 312-332-3776. And I have a question for Dion, for Shay, for Charlie about our roster. 312-332-3776. Be right back.
Cap J Hood.
Follow on Instagram at Cap J Hood.
This is ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
All right. On ESPN 1000. Don't forget, tomorrow, station's going to be on remote all day long. In the morning, Hoodie's on vacation. He's still at the Indiana Dunes. He's coming back late tomorrow. Courtney Cronin will be in for Hoodie, and we will be at Espresso in Bannockburn. It's right at the corner of 22 Half Day Road and Waukegan, right in the mall there, the shopping center.
Yeah.
It's my favorite breakfast place. My guy, Gus, who owns it, his real name's Constantinos.
Oh.
Constantinos Louvros owns Espresso. He has one in Glenview, one in Bannockburn. We're going to be at the one in Bannockburn. We'll do the show from there. And then noon until 7, all of us
all
are
of
going
us.
To be partying at Dave and Buster's.
I
in
will be
Vernon
making
Hills.
An appearance.
Love it. We'll have to play some games together.
That would be fun.
And the shows, Carmen Yerk, Waddle Sylvie, Black Abdallah, will all be there doing shows. It's going to be amazing.
What a fun day out.
Awesome.
Yeah.
So, looking forward to it.
It is fun working here.
Also on the Twitter machine, John Shipman, my boss at NBC. You could send all unwanted candy corn to me and at DMillerABC7. We will gladly consume all of it. We are snobs and only want at Brock's candy brand. At the Cap Mansion, start by buying us each a bag. He also texted me and said, I will take all fresh circus peanuts.
Oh! See, I don't like circus peanuts. Sorry,
horrible.
Ship. I don't
horrible.
Like circus peanuts, but I love me some candy corn.
Look what
corn.
Ship bought me.
That's so nice. A giant Kit Kat.
Giant. Big cat.
That's awesome.
That's it.
He's so
not
nice.
Not Barstool. This is Big Cat.
Big Cat.
Big K-A-T.
Or Cap, if you will.
That's it. Let's go to the phones. We're talking Bears football. Andrew's in Lakeview. Hey, Andrew.
Good morning, Deion. Good morning, Cap. How are
good
you
guys
morning.
Doing this morning? Good.
Up,
how sparkles? Are you?
Great, great. Quick question before I get to my comment. Is there a way to know ahead of time when Greeny won't be on and Bleck and Abdallah will be filling in?
We try to tweet that out
yeah.
right before it happens, or that's about it.
That's a Danny
right. Mine is more as a way of avoiding. You know, I kind of turn on a, like yourself, Cap, I try to listen to a Radio Hall of Famer, and sometimes
right.
I'm disappointed when I get on. So to my comment, though, you know, I think it's really interesting how there's sort of like expectations relative to draft position and performance. You know, we see a guy like Jalen Hurts, who's drafted in the second round, could have been a first-round draft pick. And anything he does now is considered to be like he's got time and he sort of is able to evolve and become, I think, a pleasant surprise in a lot of people's eyes. But someone like Justin Fields, you know, I feel like the expectations are so quick, sort of right out of the gate, that we just, you know, he doesn't have that same sort of latitude to grow as I think somebody like Hurts and some of these other quarterbacks have. Just wanted to see what you think about that.
Do you think that that's because it's been so long since the Bears have had a good quarterback? Like it's been like a drought here that the...
Andrew, thanks, man.
Yeah, thanks, Andrew. That the expectations are automatically so high because that's what's been missing for so long.
73 years.
Yeah. Like, don't you think that's the reason that people put that pressure on him right away, or that we're so ready to scrutinize absolutely everything about him? Like, you look at Josh Allen. When did he, like... He started out slow. For crying out loud, he went to Wyoming. He didn't come in like, you know, like this
correct.
Grand glorious quarterback. But look at him now. Like,
there were
I
people
love watching
a year
him play.
Or two in that said Buffalo
he's not
missed
the guy. Yeah,
not the guy.
He's not
now
the guy.
He is the guy.
He's so fun to watch.
Oh
I can't.
My God.
I am such
that
a fan.
That first down that he went rumbling for.
Oh my gosh.
Ran somebody over. I think they spotted him just short. It should have been a first down. Holy smokes! That
it's
guy's
just,
a beast.
I
down
love,
by the goal line.
I love. One of the things I love watching NFL quarterbacks or any NFL player, just watching their eyes, right? Like how big their eyes get and when they see something developing that they're going to take advantage of. And I love watching. I just love watching Josh Allen.
Okay, I said I had a question for you
guys
after
did.
The break. How many of our starters that started the game yesterday for the Bears would start for Dallas?
Oh, that's a good question.
How many?
Well,
22 starters. Plus, you have kicker. Their kicker's fine. Brett Maher. I'll take Cairo Santos.
Same.
So I'll give us the kicker.
Would okay. Mooney start over Michael Gallup?
I don't know. It's a good question.
My producer, Jason, just said two guys from the Bears would start.
Okay, I have Roquan would obviously start at one of the linebackers.
Yeah.
I think Brisker might start at strong safety.
Would Roquan start at linebacker?
Yes. I think so.
Dude, come on.
Yeah, Leighton Vander Esch and Anthony Barr at this point. I'm taking Roquan over those guys.
Yes. Kyler Gordon would probably have a spot at one of the corner spots somewhere.
I think so. Okay.
And Cairo Santos. So I've got four.
Four.
Four out of 22 plus a punter, a kicker, a long snapper. That's 27.
None of them offensive.
I don't think there's anybody offensively that would start for them.
What about Eddie Jackson?
Eddie Jackson might, too. So five.
Look at him with four picks already.
pretty awesome.
I know.
Okay, so that's five. So they've got five out of 27.
Mm-hmm.
It's not good.
That's not good, no.
You know what's maybe a different part of the question, but like how many of the Cowboys, how many Bears starters would be third stringers on Dallas? Like, would David Montgomery would go behind Ezekiel Elliott? Where would Darnell Mooney fall in the step chart? Would you rather have Noah Brown over him? Like,
it's a great question.
Yeah.
I mean, would any of our tight ends crack their top two? Probably not.
Probably not.
Certainly not ahead of Dalton Schultz, who's a really good player. Really good
Probably
player.
Probably not.
So.
Wow, that's an excellent question.
It is. That's why I do it. 312-332-3776. John's in Buffalo Grove. Hey, John, what's up, Sparky?
Hey, how are you, Cupcake?
Oh, good, man.
That was nice.
Good. Dion, candy corn. What?
Yes.
Come on.
Yes.
No. So horrible.
No. Brock's. Only
no.
Brock's.
All right. Well. Okay. All right.
Agree
anyway,
to disagree.
Let's move on to football. We have to. I want to tell everybody to take a deep breath on these Bear games. This is what a rebuild looks like. This is what it is. You know, your offense doesn't show up on Washington, but your defense does. Everybody shows up for New England. The defense doesn't show up on Dallas, but the offense does. This is what it looks like, guys. And I want to prepare everybody. All of our problems are not going to be fixed next year either. This is a rebuild, which means 2 to 3 years of acquiring talent, getting the right talent, and so on and so forth.
No, you're right.
It's a process.
It's a process.
Great call, yeah. John. Enjoy your Halloween. I hope you get your favorite candy.
Thank you, sir.
See you, buddy. 312-332-3776.
It is a long process. I think that it's interesting to look back at 2018 and even 20 when they made a playoff appearance and think, okay, they're closer than... I think that gave a false sense of how close they really were to consistently competing.
Correct.
Because that isn't... They aren't. And what Ryan Poles inherited told him quickly that we aren't ready to consistently compete.
Correct. And watching New England go into the Jets and win yesterday shows you it's a week-to-week league.
It totally is. It totally is.
It is what it is. Also, Shay, you want a White Sox update?
I guess.
We are the home of the White Sox.
We are the home of the White Sox.
I do, yes.
Okay, the only vacancy in Major League Baseball for a manager is the White Sox.
Mm-hmm.
John Heyman, who's pretty tapped in, just tweeted, White Sox have gotten permission to interview Yankees bench coach Carlos Mendoza for the manager's opening. White Sox search has been mostly a mystery. Ozzie Guillen, Ron Washington, and Joe Espada have been mentioned. None of those three are seen now as especially likely. So if they hired this guy, they would cross the Mendoza line. Take that.
That's a good bit.
Do you want to do this update just so you could do that, Cap?
I did.
Yeah, I know. Just wait, just for that moment.
I would hire Ozzie. I heard Joe Espada does not interview well, and that's why he's not going to get it. So we'll see.
What's with the shroud of mystery around this process?
I don't know.
That's because that's when you asked, do I want a White Sox update? Part of why I reacted in a way that was so flippant was like, we don't know anything. Let's just wait till somebody gets hired and then we can talk about it. Because at this point, I've heard different things from Jesse. I've heard different things from you. I've heard different things from Connor. Nobody seems to have a consistent story. I'm really confused by the shroud of mystery hanging over this managerial process.
Yeah, I don't understand it.
It screams of dysfunction.
It does.
I don't like that.
Disappointing. I would hire Ozzie.
See now, here's an other end of the spectrum where the talent is there.
Mm-hmm.
It's all mismanaged.
Agreed. Let's get one more real quick before we get to Courtney. Derek, our guy in Brooklyn. Hi, Derek. What's up?
Yo, good morning, Cap, Dion. How y'all doing today?
How
good.
You doing?
How are you?
I'm great. I just wanted to say it was kind of refreshing to see the offense compete like that against Dallas's defense. You know, just was disappointed about our defense, the way we played against their offense. But I like Justin. I think he's finally moving in the right direction. But, yeah, like Velus Jones, he got to catch that ball, man. And I'm happy about Harry, man. N'Keal Harry finally mm-hmm. getting more playing time. And I think we should keep him going into next year and then just add a couple more receivers around him and Mooney. So I hang up, listen to you guys. Love the show. Talk to you later. Be safe.
Bear down. See ya.
Just sit bear down.
That's our guy, Derek, up in Brooklyn.
I agree with him, Nikhil Harry. Real happy for him.
Yeah, good to see.
It was a rough start for him.
Nothing to get him.
Right.
And he was a former first-round pick for a reason.
Yeah.
I don't have huge expectations. We'll see.
But, I mean, on a team that doesn't have a top receiver?
Correct.
He's a big body. He's an athlete. Yeah.
It's Bears Monday. That means we get to talk to Courtney Cronin. She joins us next. Brought to you by Wintrust, Chicago's bank.
Captain Jay Hood. Jay Hood.
This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Watch us and join the chat. Follow ESPN 1000 Chicago on twitch.tv or the Twitch app.
Bears Monday. We talk football all day on the station. We want your thoughts, 312-332-3776. Courtney Cronin, who will be with me at Espresso in Bannockburn tomorrow morning, joins us now, brought to you by Wintrust, Chicago's bank. Double C, good morning. So 49-29, I'm choosing to look at the positives because we don't have many guys on our roster that would start for Dallas's roster. The offense looked very, very solid. Justin should have hit Velus Jones, and Velus dropped it. It is what it is, but I think we found our quarterback. What was your takeaway?
Yeah, I think that's a fair assessment, and to focus on where the offense is right now and the growth of Fields over the last two games, you can either focus there or you can look at, you know, the run defense just being absolutely atrocious and Dallas, you know, just annihilating the Bears with their tight end usage. There's a lot you can dissect here. Fact is, they put up 29 points on a Cowboys defense that entered week 8, number 2 in points allowed. But that's a really good thing for this offense to build upon. Six days after doing it in New England and putting up 33 points. Like, we, you know, throughout the early part of the season, this offense was having trouble scoring 20 points at that. So to see where they're at right now, and to see the growth of Justin Fields from the mini bye and some of the things that the offense is doing now to put him in a better position, obviously they can do a lot more. And the hits are just, you know, it's becoming pretty alarming. And I think that his teammates saying what they said following the game kind of sum up what everybody feels and how much people cringe anytime he gets hit or sacked. And we saw that several times last night or yesterday afternoon. But with this offense, with Justin Fields, you know that you're moving in the right direction. It's deliberate and slow progress, but with Fields, at least you have something tangible you can take away from week to week, even in a loss like yesterday. But what's clear is the talent gap around him. And when you face a team like the Dallas Cowboys, they just couldn't keep pace because of that talent gap.
So how do you explain the defense looking as horrible as they did and not putting up much resistance? Is that just a talent thing, or how did you attribute that?
Partially. I think one thing that the first half showed us, especially that those first four drives where they allowed the Cowboys to score each time, is that the defensive line needs to be as big of a priority this offseason for Ryan Poles as finding Fields wide receiver and offensive line help, because it's clear up front. Not only can they not pressure quarterbacks, that's been like an issue even when Robert Quinn was here. Like, Robert Quinn wouldn't have made a difference in this game one way or the other. It's the fact that they have, like, their force game up front, force and contain, like, they couldn't do any of that. And I think a lot of that has to do just with the fact that they don't have any dominant presence to set the edge. So to me, that revealed at least one priority this offseason, if you didn't already know it already, if you're the Bears front office, and that's finding talent for the defensive line, because everything starts up front. Of course, you're always going to remember the linebackers and the guys in your secondary running past the players that get past them, but if you can contain a little bit better up front, then it's not going to be as glaring as what we saw, because it wasn't like Dak Prescott all the time was hitting the Bears defense over the top. CeeDee Lamb had a relatively quiet game, but the tight end usage, the fact that Tony Pollard, you know, once he got outside, he had no issue. you know, continuing onto the end zone. That 18-yard and that 54-yard touchdown, he went untouched on both of them, and that's really glaring. So I think it's a continual process of the fact that there's talent deficiencies all over this roster. On the offense, we know it at wide receiver for sure, and certainly up front on the offensive line. And to me, I think that the defensive line, the glaring issues that they have with that unit, that should make that priority number 1C, because I think they're all equally important for Ryan Poles to address this offseason.
So Khalil Herbert's last two games, he, I think, went 12 for 62, 15 for 99, and I think the last week the same number of rushing yards but in three less carries as David Montgomery. This time in the same number of carries, he had 46 more yards. Do we have a controversy at running back?
I wouldn't say it's necessarily a controversy. I think that they use that. My personal opinion is that they will probably end up moving on from David Montgomery next year. I don't know if it's worth it to pay him, and especially if he's, like, I don't know, we don't know what his number is, but I don't think that they're going to prioritize paying a running back, obviously, in this day and age of the NFL, when you, and also on top of that, seeing what you have in Khalil Herbert. Now, they're never going to come out and say he's the lead back, he's our number one guy, but the way that they utilize them, the snap count, and when you see kind of what happened with the fumble yesterday and, you know, with Montgomery on 3rd and 17 and him trying to make a play, I think all those things add up. So Khalil Herbert ran the ball pretty effectively yesterday. I think, though, when you look collectively at what the Bears did with 240 rushing yards, they had three guys who had at least 50 rushing yards between Montgomery, Herbert, and Justin Fields. But that's a really efficient group mm-hmm. that you can build upon, and it might be week to week where Herbert has the quote-unquote hot hand and they ride that. That's something that Matt Eberflus said that they were going to do. But yesterday, I mean, I just felt like David Montgomery was better in short yardage situations, and you know, Herbert had that big 36-yard run that was, you know, that gave him a chunk of his 99 rushing yards. And it was good to see, because I feel like once he gets in a rhythm, he can break off far bigger runs than what we've seen David Montgomery do the last couple weeks. And that's a good sign for the Bears if they do end up wanting to stick with him beyond the season, kind of as their lead guy, and then figuring out what they have with their depth chart, maybe with a Trustin Ebner behind him.
Courtney, Eddie Jackson had the captaincy on his jersey yesterday. He had another interception. Do you see him kind of stepping up into that leadership role that is now vacant after the trade of Robert Quinn?
Yeah, it's interesting, because when we talked to a couple players in the locker room yesterday, and obviously you knew that Robert Quinn was a big part of this team. Yes, his production wasn't terrific through seven games. And he wouldn't have had an effect, by and large, on what they were doing yesterday. One player on the defense doesn't stop a 49-point runaway train. But you can tell just talking with guys, when Roquan Smith said that they just weren't ready yesterday, and I asked him, I was like, is that like an emotional hangover from the Robert Quinn being, you know, the deal that he was, you know, he's out of here this week, and Ryan Poles even said he didn't want to necessarily do it because you have to tweak the fabric of the locker room, but it was too good of a business deal to pass up. Like, wasn't a direct, yeah, we're really missing Robert, we didn't come to play, but you can just tell that emotionally, I feel like this team, especially on defense, you know, they just came out flat, and it just was so obvious that the presence that they had from Robert Quinn not being there was felt. So for Eddie Jackson, that's a no-brainer choice, I think, given his season this year. He's one of the older players on defense, even at 29 years old. I know it's kind of a crazy thing to say, but he's been around this team for a while, and it was the right move for Matt Eberflus to go ahead and give Robert Quinn's candidacy to Eddie Jackson, because I think Eddie can galvanize that group, especially on the back half of the defense, because that's, you know, he's been one of the staples back there for a couple years now. So it made too much sense to do that instead of anything else. But it's also going to be on Jalen Johnson. It's going to be on mm-hmm. Roquan Smith, who, again, is already a captain. But there's a big leadership void that I think that it's going to take some time to figure out who becomes that guy going forward now that Quinn is gone.
I will just tell you, we'll ask Alex Brown at 9 o'clock to give his thoughts on it again. He and Lance Briggs went, dude, we see guys get cut all the time. We see teammates traded, sign other players. There's no way that should adversely, to the degree some are talking about, I'm not saying you, affect the locker room.
No, but I agree. I agree. I mean, like, it's, wait, this is a business. And of course, like,
yes.
I gave them credence last week when, you know, you have Meathead saying, well, grow up, it's just a player, like, you know, this is a business, guys come in and out. That's a locker room that you don't want to mess with the fabric of. I can understand that, but four days later, you've got to be able to shelve that, to compartmentalize it and play the game. Now, it feels, I get what you're saying, Cap. It feels like a convenient excuse at this point. Well, Robert wasn't here. We got lost. We didn't know what we were doing. It's more than that. And that's where I think it really points to the talent discrepancies, especially up front. Let's look beyond the run defense. This team cannot get pressure on the quarterback. They have it all season. Mm-hmm. That's a serious issue. You cannot win games in the NFL if you cannot pressure the opposing quarterback. And that's fine. If you want to get pressure with your four down linemen, make sure you can actually do that, because they've had to get creative with blitzing. Sometimes it's worked, sometimes it hasn't. But the personnel that you have there right now is not getting the job done. So that, to me, is what it really boils down to, because, of course, everything starts up front. If you can contain the runner with your nose tackle and your three technique, then you probably don't have those same sorts of issues. If you can set the edge, you probably don't have those same sorts of issues. That's a talent problem, and I think that that's one that was pretty glaring, probably to the front office, as much as it was to everybody else.
Courtney, I'll see you at Espresso in the morning.
See you. Thanks, guys.
All right,
bye, Courtney.
Go eat your favorite candy.
Cap and Jay Hood. Mornings.
ESPN 1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. Once again, the show getting in the way of good conversation.
Yeah. Crazy stuff we get into.
Oh, man. We talk about a lot of interesting things.
We do. Oh, anyway, 312-332-3776. How about this one? A.J. Brown of the Eagles, 6 for 156 and 3 touchdowns yesterday. He just posted on Twitter. Shay, you're going to love this. Charlie, Dion, this morning, got to work and the NFL said I'm being randomly drug tested.
Really?
LOL.
How good must that feel?
Oh, my God.
That guy's really good.
Oh,
test
man.
Him.
Yeah, no doubt. That's funny.
Really funny. Also, I follow something called The Morning Brew. It's like a aggregator of a lot of cool news and entertainment and everything. We've attempted to rank the best and worst Halloween candy. Keyword, attempted.
Okay.
We'll see you in the replies. Okay, here's their rankings. Changing costumes to visit this house twice. Snickers, Reese's, Haribo Gold Bears, Fun Dip, Sour Patch, and Hershey's Cookie and Cream Bar.
Okay.
Okay, I don't like the cookie and cream bar. For me,
I don't like the
cookie and cream bar.
I hate Sour Patch.
Oh, I love Sour Patch Kids. I
hate sour stuff. I'm not a Fun Dip guy. When I was a kid, they had something called Lick-A-Made. It was like a powder.
Yes. They still give those like pixie sticks.
Yeah. Came in a little pouch like that. And you poured it out and you stuck your tongue on it.
No, thank you. I don't like that either.
Haribo Gold Bear's not a fan.
Oh, I love those. I love those.
Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, most overrated candy there is. Snickers, yes. The next category, Prime Trading Candy. Nestle's Crunch Bar. I like those.
Yeah, yeah.
The Peanut M&Ms.
Mm-hmm.
Starburst, not a fan.
I love Starburst.
Nerds, absolutely not.
No, I hate Nerds.
Skittles.
Skittles are good.
They're okay. And Kit Kat, which I love. Eating, the next category, eating once everything else is gone. Tootsie Roll, my late dad loved those.
I love Tootsie Rolls.
That's a Chicago company. Laffy Taffy.
Oh, hate.
Me too. Almond Joy, pretty good.
That's pretty good, yeah.
Because I like coconut.
Yeah,
love,
so do I.
Love Almond Joy.
Milky Way. Twix, which I love a lot, and Dum Dum Suckers.
Yeah.
Giving to my little brother, Twizzlers.
I love Twizzlers.
They're good.
I love Twizzlers.
I like all that type of red. I haven't eaten it in eons.
You like Red Vines too?
Yeah.
See, I like Twizzlers way better than Red Vines.
I also like those Wiley Wallaby. They're like softer licorice.
Oh,
those
I don't know really that I've good. Had that. Okay.
Smarties. Not a fan. Butterfinger. Not really.
No, I don't like those either.
Well, you like peanut butter.
But Butterfinger does not taste like peanut butter. Come on, somebody back me here. It does not taste like peanut butter.
It's like a peanut butter adjacent.
Yes. It's in the family. It's not like a close relative.
Milk Duds.
I'm not
me either.
You want to not open your mouth for a while. Milk Duds are
Milk
a good
Duds will
go.
Do that.
Three Musketeers.
I love
those.
Three
are good. They're
love
airy.
Yeah, I love those.
And Swedish Fish, which I love.
I love Swedish Fish too.
Okay. I'm a big Swedish Fish fan. I don't like them.
And that you don't?
No.
You used to be? Or you never were?
No, I never were. I don't like anything gummy, really.
Oh, okay. See, I do.
All right. And the last categories would rather eat raisins, York peppermint patty.
No.
I like those.
I love those.
Same here. Butterscotch toffee
like
little candies.
Too.
I don't.
Would rather eat raisins. I like raisins too.
Dots.
Oh, I hate dots.
Yeah, I don't like them. Candy corn.
Oh, come on. All the way down on
and
the list.
Starlight mints.
Starlight mints. Starlight mints aren't a Halloween candy. They're just like the everyday candy. I love junior
Jerry,
mints.
Jerry, they're junior
they're
mints.
They're junior mints.
So that's their rankings.
Junior mints wasn't on there at all. Junior mints are good.
No.
York peppermint patties are awesome.
Were Whoppers on there?
Oh, Whoppers are good.
Whoppers
like
are
those.
The best.
Whoppers are really good.
I can't stand Whoppers. Those are
malted milk
balls.
Yeah, I like malted
they're
milk
They're the greatest.
Balls. Yeah, they're really good. I
used to get
too.
A box of Whoppers every time I go to a movie.
Aw, that's cute,
I'm trying to see.
Shay.
There's one here that I can't tell.
What does it say? I should take a picture.
Nerds.
Oh, nerds. Yeah, we don't like nerds. I don't like nerds.
So, there you go. It's a different kind of nerds. Anyway, that is the candy ranking. We hope you're having a wonderful Halloween holiday, if that's your jam, if that's your thing.
If that's your thing.
Not mine.
Preparing. I will tell you that the city was alive on Saturday night. Did you know we have a Halloween parade down here?
I did not know that.
Well, I found out the hard way when I tried to get to work on Saturday night, and it was right here on State Street. Went on for quite some time. From what I heard on the Mighty 7, everyone had a great time. But it did feel like the entire city was dressed up driving into downtown. And it took almost 75 minutes to go 12 miles.
Oh, my God.
Good times. Good times
that would
in our
drive
city.
Me insane.
Oh, yeah. It's not fun.
Okay. We'll get to more of your calls. 312-332-3776 and talk to Alex Brown. That's in 2 minutes.